Well, Mary, thank you for leading into the sermon with that song. That's a great, great lead-in. As you can see, the title is Goats Galore, God's Blessing. And so the main lesson we're carrying with us here in Genesis chapter 30, verses 25 through 43 is this. God's people are blessed because God is able to bless his people no matter where they are, no matter when they are, and no matter who is around them. Okay? Amen. Amen. Let me begin with the star of the show, and that is the Lord God Almighty. How big is God? How big is he? Anybody got an answer to that? The scriptures crack and strain to describe the bigness of God in human language. And so let me give you a verse this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. We're told how big God is in a rhetorical question. And Isaiah uses what we call anthropomorphic language, that is describing God with human characteristics and that kind of thing. And so this is what Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12 says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." Who has done that? None other than the God of all creation. The Bible tells us God has marked off or measured the heavens with a span. Now, that's an Old Testament measuring unit. And the span is the distance from the pinky to the thumb. Okay? Now, for all practical purposes, I've got small hands. Some of you have bigger hands than I do. That's not a very long measurement, is it? And the Bible tells us that God has measured off the universe with the span of his hand. If he had a hand, the universe, he could measure it with just the measurement between the tip of his pinky and his thumb. Now, I don't know about you, but that tells me one thing. God's got some great big hands. Amen? Now let me just show you how big his hands are. Did you know that the nearest star to our star is 4 light years away? And that a light year is the measurement of how far light travels in 1 year. And light can travel at, 186,000 miles in a year? I'm sorry, and I told you wrong here. No, I didn't. Yeah, I'm right. Senior moment. This means that the nearest star is about 24 million miles away. And God can measure that distance in the span of his hand. How big is our God? Really, 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 really big. Great is our God, and nothing can stop him from blessing his people. Amen? And the reason why is because he's a great, big God. We live under the blessing of God, and so did Jacob, as you well know. God is able to bless his people no matter where they are, no matter when they are, and no matter who is around them. And so let me just remind you one more time that the patriarchal narratives of the Old Testament, those about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're not about them, okay? They are not the stars of the show. They're about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all right? So when we study their lives, we are studying about their God and how their God could bless them no matter where they are, no matter when they are, and no matter who is around them. When God sets his blessing upon his people, nothing can stop them from getting his blessing. Amen? Praise the Lord. And you're under the blessing of the Lord. If you're saved, you have been blessed beyond measure. Amen? Amen. Well, here's the thing. We're going to learn three things about God's blessing. We're going to learn first that his blessing is his perfect timing. Secondly, his precious touch. And thirdly, his precise teaching. So the first thing we see here, point number one is this. Point number one, we see the blessing of God's perfect timing. Look at verses 25 through 26. And soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you." Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity that we have together to read your word, to study your word, to hear it preached. Thank you for the time you've given us to sing your praises, to give tithes and offerings to you through your work here at Liberty. And for the blessings of being in this church family, we give you praise. And Lord, we are dependent upon you this morning that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a taste for the treasure of your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. The blessing of God's perfect timing. There's two ways that we see the blessing of God's perfect timing this morning in these verses. First, it's the birth of Joseph, and secondly, it's the departure of Jacob with his vast wealth, all right? Now, first of all, we see it, the timing of God's perfect timing in the blessing of the birth of Joseph. Now, if you'll flip back or just look to verse 22 real quick for me, Genesis chapter 30, verse 22, you'll see what I mean. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And then in verse 25, we pick up with these words, as soon as Rachel had born Joseph. Joseph was born at the perfect time that God had set forth for him to be born. Not too early, not too late. Now let me ask this, was it his mama's perfect timing? No. But it was the Lord's perfect timing when Rachel birthed Joseph. Now you think about Joseph. Joseph is one of the heroes of the Jewish people in the Old Testament. You think about the timing of his birth. What was going to happen to Joseph that he would become the hero of the Jewish people? Well, he happened to be born the smallest of the litter and at the end of the litter, save his brother Benjamin. And he was picked on by all the big brothers. You remember? He was favored among his parents, and that made him unlikable. And through all of that, God was going to get him to Egypt. Why? To bless the nations. To bless the nations. Joseph was born in God's perfect timing. Not too early, not too late, but in God's perfect timing. God remembered Rachel. That is, he didn't forget her. He's just, now is the time for me to open your womb. Now is the time for you to become pregnant. And so in God's perfect timing, we see the birth of Joseph. Secondly, we see God's perfect timing in the departure of Jacob. Now, what we know about this timing are a few details from the text. And what we know is that how many years did Jacob work for Laban for Rachel? 14. Trick question, right? He got duped by the deceiver of all deceivers, his father-in-law. Laban, I love when God puts people like that in Scripture because it points out to me exactly what I'm not supposed to be like. I'm not supposed to be like Laban. Laban was a scoundrel, right? He was the worst of the worst of father-in-laws, or he would become. So he duped Jacob working 7 years. He gets Leah, the not-so-pretty wife, and then he has to work 7 more years for Rachel. So far he's been 14 years. And Jacob says right here to Laban, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you that I may go. Where does he want to go? He wants to go home. But let me tell you, it's not time for him to go home. He works another 6 years and acquires vast wealth under the blessing of God's touch. And only then, after that, is it God's perfect timing for him to go home. Now, Pastor, why are you telling me that? Because I know you, because I know me. I know that in your lives you have wanted something so bad, so soon, that you've prayed to the Lord as hard as you could, shed tears over it, asked him for it, wanted it so bad, and just would have given anything you could to get what you were praying for in your timing, and God said, no, it's not time. All right, have you been there? Have you been there? And I want to tell you, that is the blessing of God's perfect timing. That you and I don't get what we think we're supposed to get when we're supposed to get it, because it would have probably brought with it more strife than good. Do you see how God's perfect timing works? God's perfect timing works in his perfect timing. He gives us what we need when we need it, not too soon and not too late. And I'm so thankful for that, because sometimes when people give me what I want when I want it, I squander it. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Well, God's perfect timing is a blessing from him. Amen and amen. It would come a time when it was that time, perfect timing for Jacob to leave. We see that in chapter 31 and verse 2. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. You see, that is the perfect timing. It's not yet, it's 6 years from now, that blessing, the perfect timing of that blessing would arrive. I've heard it said, and you have too, timing is everything, isn't it? It's so true. Timing is everything. And I'm so glad that I serve the God who stands outside of time and uses it for his own purposes. He's sovereign over time. Time is not over him. He's on his own timetable. And the Bible clearly tells us that. The Bible says, the psalmist wrote, my times are in your hands. Think about that. Some of us are wondering over the last 18 months with COVID, Lord, are you sure about this? Am I supposed to be here? Right? I've thought that. And I read the scriptures, and the Bible says, my times are in his hands. I'm supposed to be here right now, and so are you. God's perfect timing is all over our lives. God's word also tells us, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Jacob, like many of us, make our own plans, but it is the Lord's timing that rules over the timing of our own plans. And that's what the Proverbs tell us, 16 verse 9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Hallelujah. Can I get it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jacob didn't leave too early. He didn't leave too late. He left exactly when God wanted him to leave. And I found this as I was studying, and I want to share this little note with you. These words are not mine. These are somebody else's. I couldn't find who they were, belonged to, but I thought they were good. So listen up. I want you to remember this. The blessing of God's perfect timing does two things. It grows our faith as we are forced to wait and trust in God, and it makes certain that he and he alone gets the glory and praise for pulling us through. Right? God's at work in our lives when he tells us to wait. We often confuse God's timing with ours, though. A country newspaper had been running a series of articles on the value of church attendance. One day, a letter to the editor was received in the newspaper office, and it read, quote, Print this if you dare. I have been trying an experiment. I have a field of corn which I plowed on Sunday. I planted it on Sunday. I did all the cultivating on Sunday. I gathered the harvest on Sunday and halted it and hauled it to my barn on Sunday instead of going to church. I find that my harvest this October is just as great as any of my neighbors who went to church on Sunday. So where was God all this time? The editor did post the letter in the paper with this little note at the end. Quote, your mistake was in thinking that God always settles his accounts in October. End quote. God's perfect timing. Thinking that God should act when and how we want him to act according to our timetable rather than his is really a defiance towards him. It is to dishonor who he is. And I just have to admit my sin, church family. I oftentimes want God to work on my timetable. How about you? And most of the time, if not all the time, I am so glad he did. His timing is perfect. Point number two, the blessing of God's perfect timing. Point number two is this, the blessing of God's precious touch. Look at verses 27 through 34 with me. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Now, I just want to say one thing about that word divination. It is, he is not referring to holy things here, okay? But this is what I take from that. Even the devil works for God, all right? Even the devil is under the authority of our sovereign God. And God can work through the divination of evil, unholy things to get his message across. It's sort of like what I told you just a minute ago, how I like when God puts people like Laban in the Bible because I know exactly what I'm not supposed to do. Same thing here in a way. God is over. Do you see this, church family? God is over all things. The devil and his demonic demons cannot do anything outside of what God allows them to do. God is over them. Hallelujah! So we'll make sure y'all are hearing me there. All right, let's keep going. Name your wages, Laban says, and I will give it. Jacob said to him, you yourself know how I served you and how your livestock has fared with me, for you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly. Another way of translating the Hebrew increased abundantly is burst forth. Now, I want you to think about it this way. I have had the pleasure of being in the birthing room with my wife. When the babies were coming, there was absolutely nothing she could do to keep them from bursting forth. When the precious touch of God is on his people, there is nothing that can hold back his hand of blessing. Okay? Nothing can hold back his hand of blessing. Now, sometimes his hand of blessing is not getting what we asked for. I am not preaching a Joel Osteen, name it, claim it kind of garbage here. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. When God wants to bless you, ain't nothing can stop him from blessing you and it bursting forth abundantly in your life. Nothing. Nothing. No matter where you're at, no matter when you are, no matter who you're around. Get the context here. Who is he around? Laban. Does Laban do anything for anybody but Laban? No. Laban is all about himself, and God was going to bless Jacob in spite of Laban. Amen? Amen. Okay. All right. And the Lord had blessed you, Jacob says, wherever I turn. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also? He said, what shall I give you? Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep, every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. Have you ever seen a Jacob's lamb? Have you ever seen one? They are absolutely amazing to see. They're speckled and spotted. It's amazing. What two colors are lambs mostly? White and black. You don't see speckled, spotted ones. Now guess what? Guess who knew that? Laban. So Laban's like, yeah, you can have all the speckled and spotted you want. Why? Because there wasn't many of them. Wasn't many of them. All right, let's keep going. Let's see, where was I at? What shall I give you? Jacob said, verse 32, let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep, every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. And he knew he would. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen. Laban said, good. Let it be as you have said. I 100% agree, says Laban. So this is what I want you to pay close attention to. This is what I want to point out in this point above all things. And that is the prosperity of Laban by association with Jacob. All right? The prosperity of Laban by association with Jacob. Laban, if you called it in the text, was not a prosperous shepherd before his nephew came to town. The Bible says, verse 30, for you had little before I came. He was just a poor old shepherd. But now that Jacob has come to town and has been more of an indentured servant, a slave to him rather than a relative, Laban has prospered. Again, look at verse 30. For you had little before I came, and it has increased what? Abundantly. Why is Laban's wealth increased abundantly? Look back at verse 30 one more time. The Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. So Laban is prospering because of the blessing of God's precious touch upon Jacob. So the precious touch of God's favor is upon Jacob. It spills over into Laban's life. Laban identifies this through divination. I can see the Lord is with you. And so this is Jacob, if you will, is his, for the animal lovers here, a cash cow for Laban. And Laban's willing to pay him anything that he asks in order for his prosperity to continue. And Jacob asks for just measly paltry wages. And so Laban says, I'm getting the most for the what? Least. Yeah, this is what I'll do. You better believe it. That's exactly what I'll do. Now here's the question for you. Did Jacob deserve the precious touch of God's favor upon him? No, never did. Never did anything to deserve it. It was God's unmerited favor that touched Jacob's life. We call the unmerited favor of God's touch what? Grace. And through Jesus Christ, those who are in him have been blessed with the precious touch of God's grace. Amen. You see that redemptive thread that is sown throughout the entirety of Scripture? We've all had the precious touch of God upon our life. That is, if you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you do not have that. You may get that touch vicariously through someone who is in Christ, like Laban did. But let me tell you, the precious touch of God's grace is for anyone and everyone who will bow the knee to the Lord and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. It's for anyone and everyone. That's what the Bible tells us. So, do you remember the dream that Jacob had of the angels going up and down the ladder? Angels are doing the commerce of God. Angels are on Jacob's side, and they're there helping prosper Jacob. God is touching Jacob's life, this precious touch through the angelic hosts who are helping him. And so because of that, Laban's wealth is increasing abundantly. His wealth has burst forth and is spreading out because of the blessing of God's precious touch. And Jacob witnesses to this fact, and this is my interpretation of what he says. Jacob says, "You had little, Laban. Now you have increased abundantly, and it is because the Lord is blessing me. And in turn, you are being blessed." You know, I see this in the homes of godly mothers and fathers. Children are blessed vicariously through godly parents. The precious touch of God's blessing rolls through a godly mother and father to their children, from a godly grandmother and grandfather to their grandchildren. The precious touch of God. And as we know, Laban himself even testifies to this. And Laban says, "Name your wages." Now, at that time, wages for shepherds were, they would get about 20% of the flock, plus a cut of the milk and a cut of the wool. But Jacob didn't want any of that. He just wanted the speckled and spotted, the least of what Laban had. That's all he wanted. And Jacob got it. And much, much more. You know, when I think about bosses, I think that Laban is a boss that I would not want. How about you? You ever had a boss like Laban? Just a complete scoundrel? Would take advantage of you and give you as little back as possible. Have you ever worked for somebody like that? They're not fun to work for, are they? You know, the Bible speaks to this kind of boss. And this is what the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 4. "Behold, the wages of the laborers who moved your fields, who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts." So at this point, Laban had evidently forgotten about the blessing of God's precious touch that was there. He should have known that God was going to bless Jacob, regardless of the pitiful wages that were agreed upon. God was going to bless him. You see, Laban was trying to exploit Jacob, but he couldn't because God's precious touch was upon Jacob's life. You know, it sort of goes like this. You know, have you ever had a month that you had too much month at the end of your money? Yeah. You know, I believe in tithing. I believe in giving to the Lord. And I believe that that should come off the top, not off the bottom. And when it comes off the top, I just believe that God can bless the rest of it so much that I don't have more month at the end of the money, but I have enough money for the end of the month. And that's a blessing from the Lord. You know, God can do stuff like that, can he? You know, if he can speak into existence everything there is just by the word of his mouth, then I don't think he has a problem getting us through, do you? That's why I believe, partly anyway, that Jacob would take such paltry wages from this scoundrel of a boss. And not only that, but Jacob knew something that Laban didn't, and we're going to get to that next week. Jacob knew something that Laban didn't. So here's something I want you to take home with you. God's people are blessed because God is able to bless his people, no matter where they are, no matter when they are, and no matter who is around them. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God is for us, finish it, who can be against us? Amen? We serve a great big God. I'm going to close with this illustration. I want to remind you just how blessed we are by the precious touch of God. And what I'm about to read to you, I think every one of us can associate with, at least in some way or another. So listen to this. I didn't write this. Somebody else wrote it. I'm quoting them. Quote, even though I clutch my blankets and groan when the alarm rings each morning, thank you, Lord, that I can hear. There are those who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes tightly closed against the morning light as long as possible, thank you, Lord, that I can see. There are some who are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and put off the physical effort of rising, thank you, Lord, that I have the strength to rise. There are many who are bedfast. Even though the first hour of my day is hectic, when socks are lost, toast is burned, tempers are short, thank you, Lord, for my family. There are many who are alone. Even though our table never looks like the pictures in the magazines and the menu is at times unbalanced, thank you, Lord, for the food we have. There are many who are hungry. Even though the routine of my job is often monotonous, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work. There are many who have no work. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Can you associate with that? Sometimes we just focus on the problems instead of the blessings. And I hope this morning that I've given you that little nudge that's going to help you focus on the blessing of God's perfect timing, and the blessing of God's precious touch. And if you're in Christ, you are under the blessing of the God who created all things. And I don't know about you, but it can't get much better than that. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, come to you this morning with a full heart, not because I've always gotten what I've asked for when I've asked for it, but because you have withheld that, and that's your perfect timing. Lord, I come to you this morning with a full heart because I stand in a pulpit amongst a congregation who know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and are under the precious touch of your blessing. And Lord, I'm also thankful this morning and have a full heart because I know that if there is someone who is here that is not in Christ, that your arms are big enough, that your love is deep enough to gather them up as a hen gathers her chicks and bring them into the family. And so I just pray today, Lord Father God, and thank you for the blessing of being your child. And I thank you, Father, for the blessing of all those who are not your children, who can become your children, if they would just repent of their sins and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and trust in him by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.